I'm Dan Orlovsky. When I'm looking for safety, I always take the extra steps and listen to Chris and Case on the Detroit Lions podcast.
Lions with it, second and goal from the 8, down 6, but on the move. Chris, working from the gun, looks out to the right, now checks out that Viking defense. Takes the snap, back to pass, looks right, got Case in the end zone, touchdown Detroit Lions! That's it, packs the bag, starts the plane. This game is over! How big is that?
And now it's time to start the Detroit Lions podcast.
Lions fans, it's time for the podcast you've been waiting for. The show where Kool-Aid runs blue, faces turn red, and rose-colored glasses never go out of style. This is the Detroit Lions podcast, your Detroit Lions and Reddit connection. And now, two guys who have never dropped a Matthew Stafford pass, Chris and Case.
Hey, howdy ho, Lions fans. Welcome to the Detroit Lions Podcast, episode 147. This is the official Detroit Lions Podcast for Reddit. I am your dashing host, Chris, and with me is my good friend and co-host, The Riz, filling in for Case this week. How you doing, my man?
Oh man, I am doing great. I'm exhausted from covering, you know, all the Cleveland Browns are keeping me busy with Browns Wire, man. I tell you what, they're doing moves left and right. It's hard to keep up with all that and the Lions stuff and the Texans stuff, but I'm dialed in for Lions right now.
Yeah.
So you got my attention.
Good. Yeah, we got a big show and it is all Lions today. We got your hot free agency action. All the best action you'd want. We're going to break down what it means for the draft. The Riz is going to take you around the division this week and a whole lot more. We have great show lined up. Riz, you ready to go, my man?
Yeah, I think so. The Browns just released 10 players, but I think I'm good to go here.
Well, I released 10 Browns of my own this morning.
Probably about the same value, too.
Let's kick this off and break it down.
All right, a couple of quick announcements. First, don't forget about the live draft party on April 26th, draft day. It is going to be out of this world. We got great stuff. Riz might not be there live, but he's going to be there. He's going to have a contribution throughout the whole show. It's some really, really good stuff. So make sure to get ready for that. We will be broadcasting live, and it's going to be something like you've never seen before. Don't forget to check us out and help us out on Patreon. Special thanks to Dylan from Holy shit, Case will never be able to keep up. Michael, Matt, Eric, Joel, Nick, Noodle, Jeffrey, Brendan, Benjamin, Justin, John, Ross, Matthew, Morgan, Peter, Randy, Matt G, Kalen, Scott, Greg, Lucas, David, Richard, Bryce, Chuck Nasty, Fight Me, Case, Mike K, Floundericious, Ryan, Zach, Gina, Miak, Malcolm, Dan, Gary, Peter, Von Panda, Skyler, Mario, Lucas, Tim, Nicholas, Jesse, P. Lou, Wingspan, One, Jason, Ryan, Cameron, Paul Taylor, Adam, Ken F., and of course, our very first donor, Mathis. What a list, man. We also want to call out our newest patrons, Neil, who's stuck in Wildcat Blue, Nathaniel, Lance, Thomas, Troy, Brandon, thank you so much for your new jump, and Brian B. from I Prevail. Don't forget about them. They got a great album out, Lifelines, and I hear Riz, I think you've got the same song stuck in your head that I do. Stuck in your head, right?
Stuck in your head's a great tune. The title track off the new album is fantastic too. Yeah. Heavy play on Sirius Octane and on my Spotify playlist as well.
Interesting stuff. iProvailBand.com. If you want to join the Patreon crew, we've got some extra content that goes out for those folks. You can get access to that for as little as $1 a month via Patreon. But if you want to be a big spender, a big, you know, show supporter, feel free to do that. Head on over to patreon.com/Detroit Lions Podcast or go to DetroitLionsPodcast.com and click on that Patreon link. Thank you so much to everyone who helps us out from the bottom of our hearts. Don't forget to give us a like on Facebook, facebook.com/TheDetroitLionsPodcast, facebook.com/TheDetroitLionsPodcast. And of course, check us out on Twitter at DETLionsPodcast, DETLionsPodcast. It's the very best place to see the Riz
with no pants.
Oh, the only way to see the Riz. Make sure to rate us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, wherever you find us. We love those 5-star reviews. You folks have been great. Thank you for keeping those in there, and make sure to get the one in if you haven't yet. And lastly, don't forget to give us a call via Skype. Detroit Lions Podcast. All one word, Detroit Lions Podcast. Or you can call us in the Lions line, 929-33-LIONS. It's 929-335-4667. Leave us a message and you get a chance to hear yourself on the show.
Tighten your chin straps, kids. It's time to review This Week in Reddit.
All right, it's time to talk about all the fun and exciting things going down this week in Reddit. And let's just take it from the top here, Riz. I got a message in the subreddit this week on our last show. And I want to make sure I get this right here because I think it's important to get it right. So Wilson W., he says, I'd just like to take a moment to point out that every prediction that the Riz made in this episode didn't pan out.
That's probably true.
Well, let's get a hold of the bull by the horns. Riz, why are you so terrible at this? And how do you make money doing it?
Yeah. And this is something, and I talked about this on the air yesterday on 96.1 here in Grand Rapids and DFN in Detroit. And also, you know, just on Twitter, and I've talked about this with a couple of guys who are also in the business of chasing Lions news. Everything we were told, like over the last couple of months and people that we've used as sources in the past, they're either purposely lying to us or they don't know either. And I think it's more of the former than the latter. You know, some of the things that I've heard. I'll go with the Isaiah Crowell one, for example. I had heard that from both his side and the Lions side. He wound up signing in with the Jets for more money than what the Lions were going to offer him. So that, you know, that's not me saying that I was, you know, right and everything, but it wound up being that he just priced himself out of the Lions market. And I think that is probably the case with a few other things as well. But at the same time, the information that I was given and the people who have given it to me are, you know, they're winning, to be honest with you. And I'm not the only one going through that, so I don't feel bad about it at all. Because a lot of the things that we were told and things that I was told in fairly respected confidence down at the Combine in Indy have just not panned out. So at this point, I don't know who to believe. I don't know what to believe, but it's kind of fun too, you know, going through this and reacting on the fly rather than be like, oh yeah, I knew that.
Yeah,
it's different because a lot of the moves that the other teams that I cover are making, I kind of did know. But you know, some of these, you know, and we'll talk about Ebron in a little bit. Mm-hmm. I knew Ebron wasn't going to be back. I didn't expect what happened to happen, but and nobody did really. And it's fun. And, you know, I'm sure if you had, you know, Mike O'Hara or Kyle Mikey or Dave Burkett on or Justin Rogers, Case's favorite on here.
Justin was a great guy, and Case made he admitted he made a misjudgment and mistake. But
Justin's great. I love Justin.
I do too. I love his dry, sarcastic humor. It absolutely floors me. And
it's even better in real life in person. It really is.
Yeah,
he's dude.
Yeah.
So it's something that they're all working through as well. So I don't feel bad about it.
No, it's true. And there's a big change here in that we have truly a new organization and old contacts. Many are gone. Things have been changed. The whole scouting department has been blown out in the last 3 years, basically. Right.
Yes.
It's time to develop new contacts. And then part of that also, and I don't want to say the Patriot way because other teams do this as well, but there's a little bit of obfuscation of what you're trying to do. And it's a deliberate
smoke screen. Oh, there's a $2 word right there, yeah, buddy.
Thank you. Thank you. There's, you know, the smoke screens, it's part of the game and they want things reported and they want certain things out there. We've talked about that before and it's about developing your sources. Now I'm going to tell you guys straight up. And Riz, I know, I mean, we talked about this in confidence, so I'm going to keep some of the finer details out of it. But Riz shared a picture with me during this last season.
Oh yeah, I did. I did, didn't I?
And it wasn't the no pants picture.
I forgot about that.
This is if you're confused, Riz.
I know what it is.
This is a Lions player in a, we'll just say, a compromised position. I'll just leave it at that and not go into it. very well could have, you know, ended a career. If not, it would have been major headlines, and people would, by now would be making jokes about it, whether he was still with the team or not. It was huge, and I'm just going to tell you guys straight up, I can be a character witness for Riz's sources that he's been able to build throughout the system. That one, and maybe, you know, maybe in a number of years down the road, I'd be willing to share it. But the one thing I do want to respect is our players' privacy. And that's one that I just, I mean, you, like I said, my first response is I can't report that.
Yeah, exactly. No, and I showed it to you in confidence, and I respect you respecting that because that's important. It's nice to know who you can trust and who you can't. And
I think, you know, I'm fooled, folks. I've developed my sword. So that's true. You know where I live, and you know the key code. Damn it!
I could probably get back there again if I had to.
All right, so that's that. Jeff was wrong, and he will never be right again.
I was,
and
that's might be true too.
Make sure you tune in to Skip Bayless to get all your breaking news, because it's 100% right 100% of the time. All right, I'm teasing. Wilson W., don't take any of that personally. It was just a good jumping off point to have that conversation. So
no, and there's nothing wrong with that either. It's a perfectly fair point.
Yeah, and it's the people. I'll tell you something about Riz that I've always liked. Riz, when he's wrong, he owns it. You know, everybody's wrong at times, and I've seen some of the beat writers just this week. They were wrong and had to restate things. And say, you know, whatever, it happens. Nobody's right all the time. And especially when you get in the land of speculation and you're relying on other people, you don't necessarily know what their motives are all the time. And so I'm not worried about it. And I'm glad that Riz doesn't just stand around. We've talked about this before. Pound his chest when he's right and hide under a rock when he's wrong. He owns it, both sides of it. So kudos to you, Riz. I think
we've done the mutual stroke,
so we can move on now. All right, let's talk about free agency action. The first thing I want to say about this, and it was a big post in the subreddit, DetroitLions.reddit.com, champions aren't built through free agency. And it's good to plug a hole or two if you need to, but the whole idea of big splash, free agency moves, pushing you over the top is, number one, not where the Lions are, and number two, not a good long-term strategy. Do you agree, Riz? I don't think that it's out of the... This is crazy talk here.
I kind of disagree, because I just watched the Philadelphia Eagles win with a whole lot of free agents making a whole lot of big plays for them, including their quarterback, Nick Foles, who stepped in for Carson Wentz and was better than Carson Wentz.
So nothing's 100%, but that's an anomaly.
Their offensive line, they had Brandon Brooks, who the Texans foolishly let go, starting. They had... trying to think who else. Patrick Robinson was one of their starting cornerbacks. He's a free agent. Both of their safeties were free agents of recent times. They spent a whole... Chris Long was on the team, sort of a ring-whoring free agent. They did a whole lot of adding to the core that they built through the draft because they realized that their window was open. LeGarrette Blount, another one, who was a free agent that came to them specifically because he thought he could win there. They did a whole lot of that in the last two off seasons, and it worked. And I do think that these Lions are where those Eagles were 2 years ago, except we already have the quarterback. And I'll take Matthew Stafford over Carson Wentz any day of the week.
Or Nick Foles.
Yeah, or Nick Foles. Yes. So I kind of disagree with that a little bit. And but at the same, it's not wrong. I mean, the Patriots have done it the same way as well. They added Chris Long, LeGarrette Blount were both free agents for them too. Mm-hmm. You know, they pick up guys.
Randy Moss, right? He was one they picked up that was old, supposedly washed up and a problem, and he played quite well for them.
And they were a repository for those guys for a while. I mean, they had Corey Dillon. I'm trying to think of the other wide receiver that they had who was Jocinko. He wound up not panning out, but they were also of the ilk that they signed free agents that they thought could put them over the top. And what we've seen thus far with the Detroit Lions is they don't either Quinn isn't sticking that tight to the Patriot way, or he doesn't think this team is there yet. And I don't know which way he's leaning on that, but it's been a little frustrating seeing players that could be very useful here that could put this team over the top, sign elsewhere for seemingly reasonable contracts.
All right. Well, I'm going to disagree. I'm going to say that anomalies happen, but free agencies are just that, to plug holes, right? A hole or two when you have a pretty good team around. I just don't feel like any team has the cap space. Maybe the Browns or the Niners, actually, this year. They're pretty crazy that way, too. But the cap space to build any kind of long-term contender out of a team by doing it strictly through free agency. And so I look at that and I say, if you're looking for the giant splash, you're looking for that giant contract, don't be depressed when you look at the Lions team and they don't do that this year. Any year, really. I think it's not a big deal to, especially with this team, because there's a lot of holes to plug. there's a lot of places we're really good. Quarterback is certainly one of them, but there's a lot of places that we need both starting players and depth, because you know injuries happen. And that's one thing that Quinn's been, I think, really, really good at since he got here, is building depth on a team that didn't have it during the Mayhew years. All right. So we'll agree to disagree a little bit there, but I think we're closer than we are further apart. So, let's talk about the free agency action. There's been a lot going on in the last couple of days. First off, Devin Kennard comes over from the New York Giants. He's a heck of a rusher for them, or was a heck of a rusher for them. How does he fit into this kind of hybrid Patricia scheme that we envision but don't have a whole lot of data on?
So he's that's a great way to put it. He is, and I referred back to my scouting report on him coming out of USC, and I said he was a power defensive end, so like a right defensive end in a 4-3 in an outside linebacker's body. And that's been fairly accurate for what he did with the Giants. They tried him a little bit as a rusher, it didn't work, so they moved him to off-ball linebacker. Primarily playing the strong side, but he also played a little bit in the middle. And he was really good at attacking the play in front of him and rushing the passer and doing things on blitzes and blowing up, you know, getting outside and tackling screens and stretch runs and things like that. If he had to go backwards even one step, he was in a whole lot of trouble. So basically, the equation that I made, he's Tahir Whitehead, who can rush the passer. And that's basically what you're getting. And Tahir won't be back. He's in Oakland right now as we're recording this, and will probably sign there. I presume he'll sign there, and we wish him well on his future endeavors. There's a whole lot of that going on these days. But yeah, so I'm excited. It is an upgrade over Whitehead, and I think he's probably going to make a little bit less than what Tahir is going to get on the open market, and that's good. Kennard has been a good player, and I had several Lions fan, or Giants fans who follow me and who I interact with a lot, who told me they like him. They're sad to see him go. He was a guy that once the Giants figured out what they had in him, he was a pretty good player. You know, he was their sort of number two, number three linebacker. And settle into that role pretty nicely. And I think he'll do the same in Detroit. And he does have the versatility. He can play as the stand-up rusher in a 3-4. He can sort of play off the ball, the strong side in a 4-3, sort of like the role that we always wanted Kyle Van Noy to play. He's a lot bigger than Van Noy. I think he's 258 pounds is what I was told. Mm-hmm. Plays physically. He's not afraid to hit. He does have some
little bit of thumper in there.
Yeah, he does. He really does. So I'm excited about it. I think he's a good acquisition, and I think he will play a lot. I presume he will start depending on what happens in the draft. But it's a smart acquisition. It's a little bit under the radar, and everybody thinks of the New York Giants and they think that their linebackers suck, and that's not entirely wrong. But they also had problems. They didn't have a pass rush to help their secondary out, and teams ran at them at will, would load up extra tight ends. And one thing I would like to see him do better, he does not shed blocks well. So that's going to be something where the Lions defensive line is going to have to do a little bit better, because he is not a guy who can stack and shed.
Yeah, that defensive line, that's the big issue.
That's going to be a hole that we're going to talk about a lot.
Yeah, that's one. I mean, the linebackers have continuously been an issue, and we'll talk about Christian Jones next. We picked up some guys, yeah, and we've tried to.
The pants are coming off, Christian Jones.
Sliding out of those shorts. It was a definite need, right? But we also have a need on the defensive line. So we can talk about that, and we'll talk about some of the guys going from there as well. But okay, we'll start with Christian Jones. The guy's nickname is Cheese, and right off the bat, that makes me not like him. So I know you love him. Convince me. that Christian Jones is the right guy for this team with a name like Cheese.
Oh, I love Christian Jones. I loved him coming out of Florida State. He's a guy who can play any linebacker position in any situation. He played in Chicago. He played left outside linebacker, right outside linebacker. He played inside linebacker. He played middle linebacker. A lot of Bears fans were quick to point out that he was very good as long as he didn't have to call plays. And if you kept it simple for him, if you don't make him, you know, read three different things on the same play, he's good. And that was fairly true at Florida State, too. He's a read and react guy that carries out his assignment. He's incredibly athletic. He is as athletic as DeAndre Levy is, has those sort of movement skills, those sort of cover skills. He can also rush the passer.
That's a big claim there. DeAndre Levy kind of moves. He's
very fluid in space and he's bigger. Yeah. There's a whole lot to do. The problems with him, it harkens back to another Florida State guy, Ernie Sims, in that will get distracted by action going on around him, sort of the ancillary part of the play. You got to keep him with a little bit of blinders on, keep him focused. If he knows what his role is on every play, he's going to be really damn good for this team.
Very interesting. Okay. So you do make me feel better. When we look at Devin Kennard and Christian Jones, do you feel both of them are upgrades over Tyre Whitehead?
Yes, absolutely. Okay. I do. That's nothing against Tyre. We've talked many times about Tyre. Well, I love him as the third or fourth best linebacker on your team. Mm-hmm. He was not that in Detroit. He was the second, and that was a problem.
And he's got a big heart. That's one of the things.
Oh, he's a great dude.
And I meant that in both ways, right? He is a great guy. I've heard such awesome stories of things he's done around town beyond the, and I don't want to minimize it, but the standard kind of NFL charitable work that they do, which is spectacular and awesome. And again, I don't want to minimize it, but just being around town and interacting with people, him and his wife, really, really great people, treat everybody with respect. But the other part of that heart that I talk about is he may not be, you know, the number one all-time linebacker in the NFL, but he in some ways makes up for some of his shortcomings with the heart that he plays with. He plays hard on every play. I never see him taking plays off. He works damn hard out there. And he deserves credit for it. He, again, may not be the most skilled player.
He also cared very much about winning and losing.
Yes.
The losing really bothered him whenever they lost a game.
Yeah.
So that's a credit to him.
He's a real easy guy to like. So I hate that he's going. I thought that maybe, and we talked about this last week, there was a spot for him to fit in with, you know, this kind of hybrid thing that we envision the team having. But we'll see. We'll see where things wind up. But wish him the best wherever he lands. So, okay, let's move on to, I don't know, this is probably the least interesting news of the whole free agency period. Everybody expected this. Eric Ebron was cut. Instead of spending $8 million, $8.2 million, I believe, nobody would trade for him, and it's been 2 days now since he's been cut, and nobody's picked him up yet. There's some interest I hear, and I know you're going to tell us a little bit about it, Riz, but I just, you know, that's a lot of money for a guy, and I know tight ends are signing for that much money, but what is it? I think Gronk gets like $9 million a year, 9.3, something like that. I just don't see Ebron as any point. Everyone wants to point to the last half of last year and miss all the time before that. In around the division, I think we're going to talk about tight ends going to Green Bay, and I think we'll hit on Ebron a little bit there as well. Jimmy Graham, I'll just say it now, he scored one less touchdown last season than Ebron scored in his whole career.
Ebron's played 4 years.
So it was, you know, taco night when we did that. So I fired up the margaritas, got a special celebratory snack, and I even tweeted, I was talking to somebody. My wife talks about the noise that I made. Like, she was in the other part of the house, and I was watching the draft, and when we drafted Ebron in that 10th overall position, that noise still haunts her. She's a little bit afraid to watch the draft with me and is glad that we do this show now that I have to act a little bit, you know, I have to kind of rein it in a little bit, because she literally thought like somebody was hurt. There's something seriously wrong when she heard me, call out on that draft pick. So a tough guy had a tough road in Detroit, right? And I recognize that he didn't, you know, it wasn't an easy run for him here, but he didn't make it any easier. He was probably less mature than he needed to be for the position he was put in. And it's probably just better for everybody that he's cut and everybody moves on. And I'll stop my Ebron rant.
It's better that he's gone. The method of his departure is what bothers me. And some of this, again, is on him. The Lions did absolutely try to trade him. Numerous people will confirm that. The problem is he wanted to be a free agent. Whenever anybody with the Lions, you know, would call, they're like, okay, well, he's on his last year of his deal,
right?
You know, so we need to talk to him and see if he'll do a contract. And he would not do it. He wants to play another year because he thinks he's going to have a big year. He's poised for it. I think this is somewhat agent driven, by the way, and he wants to bet on himself the way a lot of players seem to be doing this season and this offseason in free agency, mm-hmm. and that it would help him get an even bigger contract than if he signed now, because it does seem, and it turned out being true, that the Lions did in fact give up on him. So that is part of the reason why they couldn't trade him, was that he was not amenable to any other team signing him to a long-term deal yet either. He doesn't want to do that yet. Now he's accelerated the clock on that and will be, you know, a free agent, but so that's part of it. I would have still kept him. Because we talked about this last week, and he made it very clear he was not coming back in 2019. He had no intention of re-signing with the Detroit Lions, because in no small part because of the fan reaction that you talked about, how much of a hellish nightmare a lot of fans have made it. He is a very sensitive guy. He has rabbit ears. He's probably listening to this right now. You know, the Carly Simon song is playing in the background.
Google
her, kids.
Oh boy, Riz, you talk about eliminating half your audience at least.
Faster Pussycat did a good version of that song too.
Yeah, you still cut out a whole bunch of people, man. All right, so yeah, no, he you know, and it's true, but he could have won everybody over. You saw a sea shift, right? At the last, after the last half of last year, people started suddenly getting on the Ebron hype train, and you know, I was, you know, during the games doing my tweet from, you know, unicorn on the way to horse. Never made it to goat, right? Never made it to
That's
goat,
right.
but we were working on it. That sensitivity that goes to that immaturity that I talked about. I wish he could have worked out. I wish so much he could have proven me and so many people wrong. And I think people, you know, there's always, right? Uncle Eddie, who's 60 years old, bitching, and Lions will never win as long as the Ford family owns them. Right? Okay, Uncle Eddie, go back to the...
You need your people to stand in front of a Ford car and let it hit you repeatedly.
Those are the same kind of people that will never, ever, ever like Ebron, right? But people's opinions shift based on
performance. They'll never like Stafford either. They'll never like anything.
Yeah,
they're happy by being miserable.
Right.
You people need to... Like I said, stand in front of some cars, go play in traffic.
The majority of people's opinions will shift. And Ebron, the way to have shifted those opinions and to not have to be so sensitive about what people were saying is to catch the dang ball and do what he did in the second half of last year. And you saw a big change, but he was
so
never going to do it.
He could have done a lot more to help himself.
Yep.
And I go back to every time that he went down, it was like a European soccer player, like, oh my God, he's been shot in the leg. And then he comes out two plays later
and just runs down the field. Someone with a sniper rifle, right?
Yeah.
It's like, what the hell?
Oh, memories, good times.
Yeah.
You know, I was in the stands at that scrimmage, that inter-squad scrimmage they had at Ford Field, where everybody thought he tore his Achilles. And my son, yeah, like, saw it happen. He's like, somebody stepped on his foot.
Yeah. Oh, well, rip Eric Ebron, 2018. Yes. We hardly knew ye, yet we knew ye too well. So let's talk. We'll go move on to an area we know is an area of need, and it just got needier. Haloti is not a Lion anymore.
Oh, well done, sir.
I did there. Yeah, he's not on the team. And I really feel like we needed him for another year. Especially, this is kind of like it's different, but it's like when we lost DeAndre Levy. We made a bet that he was going to be back and that was going to be our linebacking crew. We would have been okay. And then Levy never came back really for more than, what was it? Like a couple of plays. And we had bet so much that on that, and our linebacking crew for 2 years was trying to rebuild to where it feels like this year we might be in a decent place with the guys we got to have a strong linebacking core. It's what the defensive line looks like right now. Now we lost Helody, right? A'Shaun's good. I think A'Shaun's going to have a big step forward this year, but I haven't seen any moves to put anybody on that line that makes me feel very confident that it's getting better. Or even staying the same. Riz, what is, yeah. is not a big loss here? Am I overstating?
Well, I think we all saw how different the run defense was when he wasn't in the game. It was a lot easier for opposing blockers to get out to the linebackers. And what did we just talk about with Kennard and Jones? They need guys to keep blockers off them. That's a little bit of a problem. And it looks like he signed for 1 year, $3 million in Philadelphia. He just passed his physical. So it's done. He was a great guy, was a wonderful leader for the young guys, good mentor for A'Shaun. Anthony Zettel has given him a lot of credit for helping him develop as well. So, yeah, he's going to be missed.
And a super charitable guy, too. Right?
Oh, yeah.
I kind of dismissed another, it a little bit earlier, but he was huge in the communities that he's been playing in.
Yeah, like Whitehead, a genuinely good human being and a guy that you want to represent your city and your team. And he's not here anymore. And that's frustrating because he hasn't been replaced. Now, the upshot is this is a pretty good draft to get guys like that. And even better, like the guys who are available who can fill that role, you can get in the third, fourth, fifth rounds. He was not a great pass rusher anymore. And I'm worried that they're not going to have an interior pass rush at all. Maybe that's where Jones and Kennard blitzing comes in. We'll see. Without knowing what they're going to do with the scheme, because it is a new coach and a new, you know, transition and different pieces and parts, the Jim Schwartz way of having guys attack, you know, your front four attack, that's not going to be this Lions team anymore. And for a lot of us, myself included, because Terrell Lawson sort of followed through with that as well, different schematically, but the same fundamental principle, it's going to be weird seeing different, and it's hard to envision it because we haven't seen it in so long here. Right. And I'm struggling myself to figure out how it's going
to
happen.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be interesting to see all this play out. And not, you're right, not knowing – at a level you have a lot of trust in Matt Patricia, but not knowing is really hard, and it's going to be hard. I know beginning of April they're going to start mini camp, and we get 2 weeks jump because we have a new coach. I don't know if we're going to get a lot. I mean, it's going to be training camp, right, Riz? Before we start getting a feel for what this thing's going to look like, the preseason, start to get a feel for what this defense looks like, which I guess is good because there's no film. Right. And there's nothing right. for other teams to work on, but it's hard for us. Right. We're really trying to visualize what this is going to be and put pieces together. It's a tough place to work from.
It is. And the thing with like A'Shaun can play either inside role and he's scheme versatile on that front. He is not a pass rusher, though. He's not a natural pass rusher. That's just not what he does. So, if you're looking for, you know, interior pass rush options, you're either going to have to take one at 20 or you're going to have to wait and get a developmental guy later. And I'm not sure which one they're going to do. It sure seems like they're going to take it at the draft. We'll see. We'll probably talk more about that as time goes on here. But the options that are right now out there are fairly limited. I mean, there are some. Benny Logan would help. I'm trying to think of some other guys that are out there. You know, there are a few guys who can come in and do that. And there's some guys that have played in a 3-4 front. Derek Wolfe is a guy that was, you know, I don't think he's going anywhere. But that guys like that, you know, who have that ability to play across the front, I think will fit.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's tough to see it right now.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Let's look forward. You know, you're sitting there in the GM's chair. You look at an offensive line on the other side of the ball. That's had a lot of trouble. Can't generate. Done well pass blocking, but just can't generate the holes you're looking for for the run game. You know, what's the solution? Let's sign a 437-year-old running back and know that he's just going to fix your running game. Frank Gore, sell me on this pick. He's 35 years old. I know he had better numbers last year than any of the Lions in short yarded situations. So I guess it's a step up. But this is, what's to like about signing Frank Gore to the Lions?
Well, he sort of fills the role that we just talked about with Nada of being the cagey veteran guy who's absolutely willing to take younger players under his wing and show them the ropes of the NFL. And that's going to be important because there will be a rookie running back in here by the end of Friday night. I'm absolutely convinced of that, and much more so than I am of any of the moves that I talked about that I was wrong about last week. Great assault there. Realize how stupid that sounds right now. Yeah,
you're an honest man, Riz. That's what we like.
I try, man. You know, if you never lie, you don't have to remember what lie you told to what person. That's the easiest way to go through life. There's my life advice for you.
There you go. Words to live by.
Right.
See, you haven't sold me on Gore quite yet, though.
So he still gets it done. He's a guy who, if it's third and three, is going to get you 3.5. If it's second and six, he's going to get you 5 or maybe the 6. That's the kind of guy he is. He still has it. He's not washed up. He's still phenomenal in pass protection. That was one of the things that I actually talked to a Colts guy a little bit about him. The date doesn't matter. He said one of the things that they noticed there instantly was how much better he was in pass protection than like anybody they've ever had there before. And he's in his mid-30s. So that's still good. He can still catch the ball. He can still make – if he makes that first guy miss, he still has enough burst and speed that he's gonna make it into a 15 to 30-yard run. He still has that. And he's one of the most relentlessly positive people in the NFL. Everybody loves him because he's always upbeat. He's the guy who, you know, if 5 bad things happen and 1 good thing happens, he's going to harp on the good thing. And that's not typical.
Yeah, no, for reals.
And I mean, he would instantly be the best running back on the Detroit Lions and would be the best running back they've had in quite some time, even at his advanced age.
There you go.
Guaranteed 100% on that.
Yeah, I like the signing. I just wanted to have somebody justify it with me. And this is one of those things, though. I'm going to go back to, this is a prime example of champions not being built, or at least enduring champions, dynasty kind of champions, not being built through free agency. This is a 1-year deal. This is a guy that he isn't going to play at 36, not a running back. We're going to have him this year. He's going to hopefully fill a slot. Hopefully our rookie comes in and does well and shows that he's got what he needs. And we don't have to draft another running back next year to try to take another shot at this position. So I don't expect Gore to be around for more than a year, but hopefully he can make a good impact while he's here. Okay, we'll move on to the next player. We've got Deshaun Sheed coming in. He's going to be playing way down the roster behind Tees Tabor and Nevin Lawson, who he signed. He won't even see the field, will he, Riz?
That could actually be that way, although he's not being paid that way. No. I am not a huge fan of his game, in part because he's coming off of injury, mm-hmm. and that always worries me a little bit. But he was a good player. But again, he was down the depth chart, and I'm worried that he will be asked to be up the depth chart too high, much like we've talked about with Nevin Lawson in the past. He's great as your third best cornerback. You don't want him higher than that.
It feels like we got a lot of third best cornerbacks behind.
Well, we got Darius Slay, who's a legit number one
for sure,
one of the 5 best corners in the league. I'll take him any day.
Right. We got a couple third bests. After Slay,
I'll tell you what he represents to me, what Sheed represents to me, is he is insurance against Tees Tabor flopping. And I think that's probably the way that he needs to be viewed, because he is going to play a lot. But I also think that Tabor is going to have to step up. And, there's a lot of guys on that who were drafted last year. And the Lions do not talk about these guys publicly at all. But him, Jalen Reeves-Maben, Michael Roberts, the mid-round picks from last year, these are guys who are going to be asked to and somewhat required to make a step up in contribution and importance on the depth chart. And she needs a little bit of insurance against that. Mm-hmm. If he's healthy, yeah, he's going to be good and he will play a lot and he will help a lot, specifically against teams that run heavier on him, because he's a very good tackler. He can play some safety if you need him to.
Yep. Well, and here's the thinking that where my head's at with Tabor, putting him in a safety position. It can kind of cover up his lack of speed a little bit by playing him out a little further.
That wouldn't bother me at all. If you can keep the play in front of him, that's great. Because he showed me last year he does have instincts in coverage. He can sense the play. He's just not fast getting there. But if he's savvy enough to see it, you know, that's great. And if he's playing off the ball at safety or, you know, 10-man off coverage or 10-yard off coverage, 8 to 10-yard off, he can do that. Let's hope that Patricia sees it that way too. And I have a feeling that a rocket scientist will be able to figure that out.
If not, he just listens to the show. We'll help him.
Well, yeah. All right. It'd be fun if we got him on the show.
It would be a lot of fun. All right. Huge signing. This is, I think, the biggest name yet. Jake Rudock signs with the Lions. That powerful arm, the smooth, fluid running ability. This guy has one hell of a future holding the clipboard.
Why are you hating on my guy Rudock? You know, I he's better than Kellen Moore. That's all you need to know.
Who's a coach?
He is a coach now. So and I'll address the, because I thought for sure they were going to sign Tom Savage, and they didn't. They kept Rudock instead. What that tells me is that they are more comfortable with Jake Rudock than they let on, and that's not necessarily a bad thing. Look, he's limited. He's a career backup. He's a guy who knows what he is. He's happy being a career backup. He's happy, you know, never having to play and cashing his checks. And I don't mean that in a negative connotation. He knows that Matthew Stafford is better than him. He knows that if he comes in, the most of the fans are going to think, oh, my God, we're going to lose 50 to nothing. He's prepared for that mindset. He's a bright guy. I think he has a better arm than what is advertised. I saw him down in St. Pete. He was whipping the ball pretty well around at the Shrine Game a couple years ago. And last year in camp, he looked all right. He's perfectly fine. He's a hell of a lot cheaper than Dano. No offense to Dano on that. But
well, and that's the kind of role that he could really – I mean, Dano really took that role and embraced it, right?
He did.
And he did a good job as a backup quarterback. And, again, that's not being negative, because, I mean, that puts him on a good track to as a coach, right, or an analyst or any of the things.
It really does require a different kind of mindset. And I do think Rudock has that mindset. So yep. I'm not going to kill the Lions for doing that. And I do think they'll bring somebody else in. I don't know if they will draft somebody or assign somebody off the street just as like a third quarterback for training camp, or, you know, to compete with Rudock to be the backup and stick him on the practice squad. They tried that with Brad Kaya last year. He proved to be awful. That's one of the draft picks that still leaves me puzzling.
That's arm on that kid. Remember
oh my
training
God.
Camp? How?
Oh, I mean, my God.
You could go awful. Get a hot dog by the time his pass hit the receiver's hands.
I knew we were in trouble with that one from the combine last year when he's in the throwing session in Lucas Oil Field and he's waiting for the receivers to get open. And there's no defense on the field. It was awful. Oh, my God. Chalk that one up as a big mistake.
Yeah.
But there are guys that I've been told that they like late, that are late round prospects, or, you know, a guy that they can sign in after the draft. And I kind of expect that more than anybody else.
So again, we talked about this in training camp last year, and I was, you know how I like to take things out of the box, you know, dump the whole box out and then see, does this really need to be in there or not? Right. And I said, why do you even need to pay any kind of money for a backup quarterback? Right. If Stafford's down, you're going to go down. These Lions will not win with anybody, with Brad Kaya, Rudock. Why keep two of them? Right. Let's just pay Kaya and, you know, his rookie 47th round money and be done with it. Right. Because you're not going to win without Stafford. And it's like, you know, the talking is we were talking to, well, if you need him for three plays, you need a guy that's not going to lose the game for you. Or you need him for the last half of the fourth quarter. You need a guy that's not going to lose the game for you. And I think Rudock fills that role and can do that. And I think it's still very true. If you need somebody to play for you for more than half or a quarter of a game, you need a backup to do that. You're done. You're just going to lose those games. You might as well write them off. Then you go and you look at Nick Foles and what he did, and it blows that whole kind of thinking out of the water.
Look at what Case Keenum did. Yeah. Look at, to a lesser extent, look what Matt Moore has done over his career in Miami. He's been the same sort of guy. Ryan Fitzpatrick last year in Tampa Bay was arguably better than Jameis Winston.
That
can happen.
And now I sit here and I'm swinging the other way. You know, I've dumped everything out of the box again. I look at it. Why don't we pick up a really, really, really good backup that can carry the team for 3-4 games if he needs to? You start thinking about, you know, statistics or whatever. Matthew has not missed time in a long time. And I now start to, you know, that shadow gets longer and taller and scarier. I'm like, oh no, right? I mean, now I start thinking about that. But I think if he goes down, there's no chance for this team based on having Rudock or anybody that they would wind up drafting this year.
I think if that were to happen, let's say Stafford breaks his collarbone, doesn't Aaron Rodgers, Rudock might start one game, and then they're hitting a veteran free agent who can come in and start right away. That's my belief on that. And there will be guys out there, hopefully better than Jay Cutler was in Miami.
I liked the Savage thinking. I really liked that. So.
And you know, he's in the Saints. The Saints signed him for, he got $3 million for 1 year as well, which is insane money for Tom Savage. But you know, those guys will be out there. You know, last year the Texans happened to have, they went through Deshaun Watson, then Savage got hurt, and they brought back TJ Yates because he was familiar with the system. He wound up being terrible, but they also had Taylor Heineke, who wound up, he threw one pass and got a concussion of his own. So many weird things can happen. And I think there will be veterans out there that they can get. And that's what I would go with if they need to play somebody for an extended time. Quite honestly, I think Jake Rudock is aware of that.
Yep. Okay. All right. Let's move on. Let's talk about some of the possibles here. All right. There's LeGarrette Blount, who's coming to town. Any thoughts on that? Are we going to sign another old big guy?
You know, it's interesting because they had zero interest in him last year. And I don't know what will have changed on that because he's gotten older. He's still good too. Like Frank Gore, he is not the warm, cuddly veteran presence in the locker room, but he is a guy. He was, remember back when he was young, he was like terrible, even though he's this massive guy, he was terrible in short yardage situations, and he's gotten a whole lot better at doing that. He's also gotten better in the passing game. I think that window has closed for him in Detroit, which probably means they'll sign him based on my recent track record.
Man, don't take it so personal. I think I might have broke the riz.
I've gone from self-deprecating to self-defecating.
All right. Yeah, I don't expect to see him. I don't expect to see Mr. Blount in the D. Let's move on to Brett Celek.
You've got me interested.
Yeah. Definitely a need right now at tight end. Darren Fells is gone. I don't know if you heard, Eric Ebron was cut. I kind of like this one. I think this would make me feel a little better.
I would feel good about it too. Receiving oriented tight end, you know, has obviously winning pedigree behind him. Good all around guy. Another guy who was super popular in the locker room. Bit of a character. I'd be perfectly happy getting him in. That would be great.
And pedigree beats pedigrew every time.
Oh, pedadrop.
Yes. All right, let's talk about, there's another big name out there. People talked about we were dropping Ebron to free up some money to make a big splash signing. And we've got some theme music for it. You know who I'm talking about, Ndamukong Suh. God, he's the Donkey Kong music. When are we going to sign him, Riz? Is he in Detroit now signing as we speak? Or
where's my hammer that I can jump up and get hit with the fireball? Whack some barrels.
Yeah, I was always wondering what was in those barrels, because I might just kind of catch one and then open it with a hammer and have... It's just different kind of thinking, I guess.
The young people are like, what the
fuck are they talking about? All right. No, Donkey Kong Sue, what's going on here?
Ndamukong Suh was cut by the Miami Dolphins because they didn't want to pay him enough money anymore. Oh my God. Because they traded for Robert Quinn and decided that he was better than Ndamukong Suh, which is part of the reason why the Miami Dolphins are going to go like 2-14 next year. one of the and they might be lucky to get that based on what their roster looks like right now. He wants money. And he's made no secret about the fact that he is going to capitalize and make every dime that he can during his playing career. That's why he went to Miami. It will not be money, or it will not be lack of interest that keeps him out of Detroit. It's that they're not going to pay him what he wants. I talked to someone last night who is familiar with his situation and his relative interest in things. They told me he's going to ask for $20 million a year. I don't think he's going to get that. I don't think anybody's stupid enough to pay him that, but he's still a very good player. He's actually, as we're recording this, he's in New Orleans meeting with the Saints. I don't know what will come of that, but they can't really afford $20 million a year. We'll see what happens with that. He's not coming back to Detroit. It's not a fact that, you know, the door is closed or anything. It's just, he wants that's too much. Not, doesn't fit in his business plan about what he's about. Remember, this is a guy, he hangs out with Warren Buffett. Now, this is a guy who's, you know, he's got his fingers in a lot of pots. He's not your typical brainless football player. He is a smart, erudite guy who's very concerned about his life after football, and he is going to get every last penny that he can. And I don't blame him for that either. And you shouldn't either. This is a guy, as much as we see careers come and go, never blame a guy for maximizing what he can get, even if it winds up being to the disinterest of your team, because they have to look out for themselves. And as we all know, Ndamukong Suh is playing for the SUH on the back of the jersey a hell of a lot more than he's paying for anything on the front of the jersey.
Yeah, for sure. So I guess when it comes to Suh, you can just kind of go game over.
Win another quarter, Dad, please.
All right. So Suh's out. And we don't know who's in. Boy, though, you can dream, right? People, a lot of people don't like the troubles that come with him. You know, they talk about the stomp and all that stuff. But a guy with that talent standing next to Ajon Robinson, can you imagine?
Really damn good. Oh, he's so good.
Oh, my God. Who do you double, right? At that point, Ziggy could kind of have just a stroll into the backfield, right? Oh, my God.
It would be fun to dream about that, but... Yeah.
Definitely. All the other stuff just isn't there. So, all right. So we've gone through all the free agency action, all the hot action. Let's talk about, what does this mean to the draft? Does the calculus change on who the Lions are looking at in the first three rounds, Riz?
I don't think so. I still think they're looking very heavily at impacting the opposing quarterback, be it pass rusher on the outside or the inside or both. And I think that running back fits into that need scheme as well, even with Frank Gore, because I'm tired of railing on the same point. Mm-hmm. Amir Abdullah should not be higher than third on your running back depth chart. And from what I gather, Theo Riddick is going to be seen in more of a receiving role. You know, sort of that exclusive guy that comes in when they go four wide and he'll be the running back. They did bring TJ Jones back, so I think that takes care of the need at wide receiver. I don't think they're going to look there at all. He would have had some interest outside the team too. So I'm looking defensive tackle or edge rusher, specifically a guy who can play with his hand in the dirt or standing up. And that does sort of limit the options a little bit. That's your first round pick. Your second and third round picks are going to be another lineman or the edge rusher that they didn't get in the first round. Perhaps interior offensive line, left guard, or running back in that. And I think it's in that order that they're going to approach the draft.
Yeah, no, I like that. There is a very wise man on Twitter who said, having a quote unquote speed back who isn't fast and a power back who can't see holes is no way to run the ball. I don't know who that guy was. I didn't see his name.
That sounds like me.
But you nailed it. I mean, it sums up the Lions run game. Perfectly. So definitely I see a running back in the first or second round. Maybe, you know, I feel like I want one in the first, but
you know, I don't think it will be in the first. And yeah. I'll tell you why, because I think, and I'll speculate endlessly here. Saquon Barkley is not going to go in the top five, even though he might be the best player in this draft. I think Quentin Nelson is the best player in this draft. I think Saquon Barkley is probably number two. Mm-hmm. I don't think he's going that high. I, the, I don't think the NFL sees him in the same light that a lot of the media sees him. And I, especially with the way the quarterbacks are going to get pushed up, we're going to see four quarterbacks gone before the Lions pick. We're going to see a couple of offensive linemen who do not deserve to be taken before the Lions pick. You're going to see cornerbacks and safeties who I don't think the Lions have much interest in. You know, guys like Derwin James, Micah Fitzpatrick, those guys are going to cloud in there. I think the running back class is going to get pushed down, and I think the Lions will capitalize on that because I trust that Bob Quinn's going to realize that.
I feel really good about our secondary. I have to say, you know, our secondary, then into our linebackers, and then, you know, our line, defensive line is kind of a mess. But, boy, if you think about when you're setting up your division, that makes it a tough game for your Packers and your Vikings. That kind of a defensive setup, if you're going to be weak somewhere, being weak in that line is probably the best place to be to pick your weakness against those two teams, right? And neither are super dynamic at running. And if you can shut down the Kirk Cousins and the Aaron Rodgers passing game, you've suddenly changed the way they have to game plan. You've changed their game to play to you.
Let's hope so.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing. All right. Really quick, we'll let you guys know. Amazon, don't forget about Amazon. Fanatics and SeatGeek, all three of those. They're the places to get the three main things in life that matter to anybody. You talk about any kind of concert or theater or anything you want to go to, game, sporting event, whatever. You need tickets, and you can get that at DetroitLionsPodcast.com, of course. You need any kind of Lions gear. You need any of your college gear. You need to support basketball team, whatever. That you come to DetroitLionsPodcast.com for that too, and it goes right to Fanatics. And then, of course, anything else in life that you want to buy, you name it, it's available on Amazon. Any one of those three places are places that you can get anything you need in your life, anything. And you can really help the podcast out by going to DetroitLionsPodcast.com, clicking up on that main menu and that shop link, and going to one of those three places. If you go from our site to those locations, they give us a little kickback. It doesn't cost you more. They just cut down their profit a little bit and help us out. And they say, you know, the Riz, Chris, Case, these guys are pretty cool, so we're going to give them money for sending people our way. Don't forget about us when you go do your shopping. We love you folks who are using the links, and we really appreciate it. But, you know, we don't do commercials here except this one, and it's a great way for you to help the show by doing something you were going to do anyway. All right, that takes us to the last piece with all the free agency action. Riz is going to take us around the division. Show us what you got when the motherfucking beats go. Oh yeah. Oh, that's my favorite part. All right, Riz, free agency around
the list of some death metal soon.
I Prevail. Well, that's as close.
I Prevail. I Prevail works. Thanks, Brian.
Good stuff. All right, around division. You know, Case usually likes to take it to the bottom first and start with the Bears. What's going on in Bears land? You were talking a little bit before the show that you thought they were fools in the front office and that this team and the whole place was on fire, right? Or did I hear wrong?
I love how you put words in my mouth. Thankfully, it's only words.
Well, I mean, we can work on that.
you know. So I think the Chicago Bears have gotten a whole lot more dangerous, and specifically on the offensive side of the ball, because they brought in Allen Robinson to play their outside receiver. He's going to be the best wide receiver they've had since Alshon Jeffrey, when Jeffrey still was fairly light and cared. I love Allen Robinson. I think it's a fantastic signing. They're paying a whole lot of money for him. They're paying $14 million a year. He is going to challenge Darius Slay. I'll say it that way. I trust Slay immensely. But they also added guys who can help on the inside. They added Trey Burton. They added Taylor Gabriel. Taylor Gabriel is one of those guys that gives the Lions fits because he's like Cole Beasley from the Cowboys. He's a nifty little guy on the inside who can always get open, and he can accelerate after the catch. And those guys give the Lions fits, and they probably still will, especially if T. Stabor is playing anywhere near the inside. Because, yeah,
I just
he's about as quick as a molasses truck that dumps on a cold freeway.
I can hear those feet pounding, getting up to speed now.
So I like what they've done quite a bit on the offensive side of the ball. You know, they've gotten better. God bless them. You know, they did what they had to do. They still have Jordan Howard in the backfield. They have Tariq Cohen. They have the ability with their tight ends now, and Trey Burton and what's the guy from Adam Shaheen from last year, to mix and match and create dictating matchups. And Mitchell Trubisky doesn't suck. He might be a bro, but he doesn't suck. And I'm a little bit worried about them. I'll say this.
He would have fit on the lacrosse team for sure.
Can we go to Green Bay next? Let's go to Green Bay next.
Yeah, for sure.
Because Green Bay Packers are now clearly the worst team in this division on paper. I mean, it's not even close. They are so far behind Detroit and Chicago and Minnesota that if they win more than four games, you just need to build statues to Aaron Rodgers, because it's all on him, because they also happen to have probably the worst coaching staff. Well, we don't know about what's going on with the Lions coaches yet, but they are. Oh my God. So their only signings are Jimmy Graham. They're paying him $10 million a year. He's not better than Eric Ebron. He hasn't been. Mm-hmm. He catches more touchdowns. Fun stat from last year, though. Mm-hmm. I looked this up on the NFL statistical database. Eric Ebron had three drops last year. Jimmy Graham dropped four potential touchdown passes last year. He wound up with six drops, so that it wound up he only dropped the really important ones. He did catch 10 of them, to his credit.
10 touchdowns. One less than Ebron's career total, right?
Yes.
Like, as we said earlier, that's
yes.
I'm thinking a guy can drop a couple when he's catching that many. Okay.
Jordy Nelson just signed with the Oakland Raiders.
That's crazy.
Randall Cobb is not healthy.
Nope.
They don't know who their running backs are going to be. I don't know who their running backs are going to be. they have a decent offensive line, I guess, but they are so heavily dependent on Rodgers being Godgers now. I mean, Jimmy Graham's going to help them, make no mistake about that, but I mean, Davante Adams is probably their only. It's Davante Adams, you know, what the 5.5 games you can get out of Randall Cobb and Jeff Janis is their wide receivers right now.
Yeah.
Good luck with that.
You know, they've done well with players. Remember Sam Congato? That's the Packers story. They get these guys that nobody's ever heard of and they step up and they play. And you're like, how the hell did they fill that hole? They lost a superstar, and now they got another one here, right? And then Sam Congato went away and couldn't do anything anywhere else. But they are a team that have just been maddening with their luck. Of course, the two Hall of Fame quarterbacks in a row kind of crap. But this is really, to me, they are an absolute unknown, whole new front office, right? The whole mess they've got there. It literally is all on Rodgers, and can the rest of these guys stand up? They could go absolutely either way. I'm glad you feel like they're the worst team in the division. I hope they stay that way for a very, very long time. But
yes, that would be nice.
They confuse me. Okay.
Yeah.
So let's move then on to the horn blowing Vikings.
They got reason to blow their damn, what do they call that thing? It's not a flugelhorn. I got corrected by that. I can't remember the name of it now.
We could call it a flugelhorn.
Sure. Yeah. So they signed Kirk Cousins to be their quarterback. And as you know, I happen to like Kirk Cousins a lot. I'm doing this show from Holland, Michigan, his hometown. I played basketball at lunch today with a couple of guys who played football with him in high school. They are so thrilled for him. He's getting $84 million all guaranteed for 3 years.
That is insane. Every ounce of that guaranteed. Wow.
God bless. Good for him. Now, he is quite literally the only free agent move they've made, but it's fairly significant. Remember, this is a team that made it to the NFC Championship game, and Case Keenum didn't play very well. He's now in Denver. I think he signed for $15 million a year. So if you want to bitch about Stafford's contract again, go play in traffic. I will take Stafford over Kirk Cousins any day of the week, and Kirk is making a lot more than Stafford is. But he can be, he gets a bad rap because he doesn't do things aesthetically pleasingly for a lot of people. And he does take stupid risks at times, but it's fun to watch him become what he's been. And he's a lot better than any of the guys that they had there last year. Sam Bradford included. Sam Bradford going to Arizona for so much money that they had to cut the Honey Badgers so they could pay Sam Bradford to be their quarterback.
Yeah, that's, I mean,
you think Ebron getting cut is bad? Nah.
Sometimes, man, these things just sometimes don't make any sense, right?
I mean, God.
The positional
The memes that came out about Sam Bradford showing up, and they had like ambulances, and like corpses being dropped from airplanes. It was awesome. I love the internet.
Yeah. It's spectacular like that. I don't know. What's the long-term effect? This is a lot of money. I mean, they're going to have to lose somebody, right? Are we going to be able to steal Barr from them in the future here? Somebody?
They are going to have to get creative in how they do extensions with some guys next year. They're in it to win the next Super Bowl. And right now, they're as good as any team in the league at doing that. I absolutely believe that. The Lions are chasing them. Doesn't mean they can't catch them, but it's going to take some work to catch them because they're looking really good right now.
Yeah. Yep. All right. So there we are around the division. Big show today. A lot going on. Thank you, Riz, so much for standing in for Case and doing your thing. You're so good at this. Remember, folks, the show needs your involvement. Use the comments in the subreddit to give us your feedback. That's what helps us stay the number one Detroit Lions podcast. Also, don't forget about us on Patreon, patreon.com/Detroit Lions Podcast, or go to DetroitLionsPodcast.com and click on the Patreon link. Anything you can spare to share is greatly appreciated. Of course, we're in social media, Facebook.com/TheDetroitLionsPodcast, Facebook.com/TheDetroitLionsPodcast. And give us a follow on the Twitter maker, the Twitter cheese, at DETLionsPodcast, DETLionsPodcast. The very, very best place to see the Riz.
With no pants.
Ooh, yeah. Give us a call on Skype at the Detroit Lions Podcast. All one word, Detroit Lions Podcast, or call us on the Lions line, 929-33-LIONS, 929-335-4667. And leave us a message, get a chance to hear yourself on the show. Make sure to go to DetroitLionsPodcast.com, subscribe to the podcast so we can come in your little box automatically. Everybody is screaming for that. Thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you next time on the Detroit Lions Podcast, your Detroit Lions and Reddit connection.
Final seconds winding down, and look at that. How big is that? Chris and Case out of time. Pack the bags, start the plane. This show is over.
Hey, Dean Blandino here, and I can tell you unequivocally that call was 100% wrong.